time on a Monday. Matt Smith with you. For Brandon Stokely, I'm Josh Stoker. We rock with you till 2 every single weekday, reacting to a big sports weekend that was. Nugs and Avs in action, Buffs and Rams fighting for conference championships, and have found themselves on the doorstep of dancing. We're going to get to that coming up in a couple of minutes. You want to join the show, hit us up at 303-713-1043. That's the RamosLaw.com text line. Same rules over on Twitch, twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom. You can watch the show and hang out in the chat room right there. We'll catch up to a few of you on the text line and the Twitch chat coming on. But, Matt, let's talk about the quarterback market. It's like down to three names. Zach Wilson, you can trade for him from New York. I have a hard stance on that, though. I'm done with quarterbacks named Wilson for at least a year.
That's a good plan.
My cup has been filled, yeah, and I would not like it to be refilled, please.
Yeah. Mom's got some single friends that might be really happy about that, though. So maybe there's an upside to it.
I have tried to get Kevin to go to the patio in Cherry Creek of Del Frisco's regularly. But, Kev, if Zach Wilson were to come here, avoid it at all costs. You won't be there.
You don't have a chance.
Maybe I could go with him.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. There you go.
Swim in his wake.
Yeah. Everyone needs a strong wing man, Kev.
Yeah,
of course. That could be your role with Zach Wilson. Ryan Tannehill, who I like to call Tyron Ranahill.
Why?
Because he doesn't deserve to be called his first name.
Why?
Because he's no good at quarterback.
Oh, okay.
Yeah?
Okay.
I just didn't know if you had another why.
Well, I was going to say because I'm done with washed-up Ryans from Nashville.
Hey!
Yeah.
Hey!
thanks for that. Like, we have crossed that bridge.
Yes.
I'm good on the washed-up Ryan from Nashville.
So
we already
Ryans,
got rid of dead weight. We don't need any more of it.
Ryans and Wilsons, sorry.
See ya.
Our cup is full. And then Trevor Siemian is still available. But here's the point, Matt.
Trev.
All of those names mean it's Jared Stidham and it's a rookie quarterback. Insert whom you think that may be. I have pretty much decided upon Bo Nix as being that. But Justin Fields went to Pittsburgh. That kind of left everything done as far as the quarterback market goes. Unless, I'll let you answer for yourself, you have interest in Ryan Tannehill.
Well, last week with Phil, when I was in for Zach, my hot take was they draft Bo Nix at 12.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that I actually, invested in that that outcome.
I like that.
So I can only imagine that's not how it plays out, okay? And I did that based upon what my head is telling me. I don't know that that's the right decision. We talked about it earlier. Is that really the right decision, taking QB5 at 12 overall? I can't convince you one way or another that it is, Josh. I just can't do it. I mean, go back through the other drafts in recent history. You talk to me about how good of a hit rate QB5 off the board is. And we're going to do that later this week. I just can't imagine it's more than, 5%?
Yeah, that might be a lot.
The one thing that I will say, the people who are raising red flags in Broncos country, because there are some, I would say it's more of a vocal minority. More people are embracing the rebuild. But I think the one thing that is valid is, hey, whatever plan you have at quarterback, look, it's not a good plan right now, because even if you were trying to draft for the future, but here's you want to talk about them's the breaks of the dead cap situation. Look, you might not get a crack at one of the top four quarterbacks off the board,
right?
Because you've already doled out so much draft capital the last few seasons. Now you're kind of just stuck with the rest. Well, what's the smart football play? To me, the smart football play is honestly not reaching at 12. If you're not in love with a guy, but the smart football play is also not trading down and then still using that first rounder on that same quarterback that you weren't in love with at 12. Also not a good plan, which is why you trade back, pick up a starter in the first round, name your position, or you keep 12. But I think you move down just a little bit, maybe to 15 with the Colts or something like that. Maybe your pass rusher is still there, or defensive lineman, or maybe Brock Bowers for some reason has fallen to 15. I just saw a mock today where he did. Who knows what happens? The point is this. Then in the second round, or you pick up a third round pick, package the 2 threes for a 2, and then you look at maybe Michael Penix in the second. But I think, look, man, eventually you're going to have to start drafting some difference makers in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not exactly sure that quarterback 5 at 12 overall is the best way to allocate that. But as we brought up earlier, and it's probably time to put a drop on the board. they're a little desperado.
That's exactly right. We might need that desperado on the board. I would say this, man. I think you said something in there about drafting a defensive player. That's kind of where I go, I don't know about that. I want offense with the first overall pick, the Broncos' first overall pick. You said Brock Bowers. Like to me, it's tight end or it's Brock Bowers, or you do trade back.
Brock Bowers is a tight end.
Or, I mean, tight end, Brock Bowers, or Bo Nix.
Oh, okay, sorry about that.
But to, you know, offensive positions. Heck, wide receiver, Malik Nabers, for some reason, drops down to you. That's something I could entertain as well.
Can you imagine Broncos country taking a wide receiver at 12? They'd be stoked. So stoked.
At least we wouldn't have to say Jerry Jeudy's name anymore because he'd no longer be the highest drafted wide receiver in franchise history.
This is true. Brian Thomas Jr. at LSU, he'll be around.
The offense is what needs to be addressed. You can't ignore defensively. They do need a second corner. They do need some help on the defensive line. They did do that in free agency. But that would be my only pushback of kind of what you said of don't take a defensive player at 12. You either take an offensive player or you do what you hinted at. You trade back, you add yourself a second, and then you just have more options for quarterback later on.
Taking a corner at 12 would be tough.
I'd literally be mad.
I've seen a ton of mocks that have them taking one of the Alabama corners or maybe Quinion Mitchell, the kid from Toledo, at 12. That, to me, doesn't make a lot of sense. If you're going to take one of those guys, you might as well take the third cornerback off the board and do it at 17 or maybe 20 and trade down for that guy.
Let me ask you that, too, real quick, just in the conversation. Drafting a cornerback with the 12th overall pick, what does that say about how the franchise views Riley Moss, who they just used a third rounder on last year? That's what they were selling us, right? Selling us is that guy will be developing to a starter.
Well, it tells us that they're not sure about him. And how could you be sure on the guy if we're being completely honest? I know that George Payton in the postseason presser came out and told us that the organization views Riley Moss as a starter. And look, maybe that happens. But you also need some playing time for the guy. But I'd be looking, if you were going to draft a defensive player at 12, does Dallas Turner fall within your range? Maybe if you moved a third, could you get a Dallas Turner? Is Jared Verse from Florida State there? There are some really talented defensive players. I understand your perspective that, look, this team needs an infusion of young offensive talent. I get that. It just has to match value. What's curious to me, and I saw this from Pro Football Focus's latest mock draft, or not Pro Football Focus, Sharp Football, Warren Sharp.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Not that it really matters. A mock draft is the same. Point is this.
I like Warren Sharp more than PFF, though.
I would agree with you. I saw them with the Broncos taking Terrion Arnold, the corner from Alabama, at 12, and then 15, Brock Bowers goes off the board. That would surprise me. Mm-hmm. If Bowers was still there and they didn't draft him, this is a franchise that desperately needs a tight end that's a difference maker one way or another. I mean, you want to help out a rookie quarterback? You want to help out Jarrett Stidham? Get him a guy who can work the middle of the field.
Yeah, and we had the conversation all offseason, or at least at the front of the offseason, using Tampa Bay as a blueprint, the Buccaneers. Look what they did with Baker. Look what they did. The Broncos roster that looks nothing like what Tampa Bay's roster did. That was kind of the conversation we had, Matt, about, all right, get you a playmaker at tight end. Find somebody late in the draft that might pop as a wide receiver in the third, fourth round. You have three fifth-round picks and hope that it works there. So that way, in 25, you are roster ready to find your quarterback, or if it's Bo Nix in year two, that the sophomore season, he can take a bigger jump because you're roster ready much more than you are right now. Because that's the other thing, Matt. You take Bo Nix at 12. Let's just say it's this hypothetical world. And it's Cortland Sutton, little Jordan Humphrey, Marvin Mims as your wide receivers, Greg Dulcich, Luke Kroll, and they brought back Troutman for some reason as your tight ends, and the running back room is what it is. I still think that this team is going to struggle a little bit, but you're starting to figure out who is. I guess you already have started that, but you're figuring out more who is, and maybe even more importantly, who is not a part of Sean Payton's plans for 2025 and moving forward.
Yeah, I'm looking right now at NFL Mock Draft Database, and everybody still has consensus Bo Nix to the Broncos at 12. Look, they're desperado, okay? They got to find somebody. They chose to pass on all these other mid- to low-tier free agent quarterbacks because they didn't want to pay him that money, which makes complete sense.
Heck yeah.
It does when you really look at it. Nobody is such an upgrade over Jarrett Stidham where you go, nah, we got to have that guy. At the end, even if they made a move for Justin Fields, they'd still be at the same amount of wins. It looked like it did with the Bears in Chicago with Fields. It just would.
Mm-hmm.
It just would. He's just not that guy. He's not the tide that raises all boats.
And it's also like, if Sean Payton likes blondes, don't keep giving him brunettes.
Yes, sure. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I would just say if Sean Payton wants a guy who can operate in the pocket,
that's a blonde.
Then don't give him Justin Fields.
Yeah. Don't give him a brunette.
Okay.
Yeah. We know what he likes.
Yeah.
He said it over and over. He used every interview at the Super Bowl, every opportunity at the Combine to tell us what he was looking for and how it wasn't Russ. Like, we know. Us as fans know what Sean Payton wants. You know, dang sure that the organization knows. He's the general manager, so that's all that matters that knows. And George Payton has fallen in line to do whatever the hell Sean Payton says. So we know what he's looking for. Now you have to go and get it. And even if it's Bo Nix has a third of what he's looking for, Russell Wilson had zero of what he's looking for. I personally believe Jared Stidham has zero of what he's looking for. He's tried to sell Jared Stidham, but it sounds like a lot of, you know, lipstick on a pig conversation when you have that with Jared Stidham. So that's it, man. Sean cannot be successful until he has a quarterback that he wants that fits his system, and then you start putting the pieces together around him.
I'd be fine with Bo Nix at 12 if it meant that you weren't afraid to go back to the quarterback well next year if it really is evident that it's not working out.
So, I mean, that would have to be disastrous.
But that's the problem. So that this herein lies the fear that I have. If you do that, you're committing to that quarterback for a couple of years. You're committing to quarterback 5 off the board for a couple of years. Does that make you a little nervous? Makes me a little nervous.
Sure, sure.
Which is why I say I'd be fine at 12, but if you felt like you still haven't found your guy, or maybe situation presents itself where, hey, I actually like this guy a lot better in 25, then I don't want that to prohibit you. But if you do that, well, why don't you take Bo Nix the year before at 12 when you could have had, you know, another pass rusher or another linebacker or what have you? The point is that you really have to evaluate the future, which is why you got to be in love with the dude to take him. And Sean told us that he's not going to take him if he's not in love with him. So that's why I think you see a lot of drafts with the Alabama corners, with the Florida State pass rushers, because you truly don't know. Because it's a clean slate. They can start wherever they want. And that's kind of the beauty of this. They're doing it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to do it the right way, are you trying to expedite the process by drafting QB5 at 12 would be my question.
I saw a tweet from Andrew Mason who polled Broncos Country. And he had a couple thousand people vote saying, would you have rather now, sitting in March, win the 5-game winning streak? That means you ended the streak against the Chiefs, or blown it up and traded everybody at the deadline. It was like 60-40. And the 60 was for how it played out in the winning in the Chiefs streak, go on that 5-game winning streak and still be sitting where you are today. I didn't vote that way, right? I would have voted, hey, hindsight now, I'm sitting here, go get you a top 7 draft pick rather than 12, and then you become a real player for a quarterback. Now, that's hindsight, although I was yelling into this microphone that the ground Broncos Country was trying to stand on during that 5-game win streak was made out of quicksand, and if you live there, you would no longer be living. But here we are now in March talking about the 12th overall pick.
So here's the problem with that. And you mentioned hindsight's 20/20, it's easy. But I remember those conversations we were having at the deadline. I do. I remember them well. We're talking about, okay, what's the best you can do if you keep things the way they are and keep rolling? Well, maybe you got an outside shot at playoffs, Josh, but you're most likely in purgatory where you don't have a top draft pick, but you also didn't make the playoffs, so you're where you are now. And guess what? They ended up exactly there. But even if you were in the top 5 and you were trying to make a move up to draft, I don't know, Daniels or May or what have you, you're still doing that with Russ's dead cap. So those 2 valuable years of a rookie contract are still hampered by what you could put around him by Russell's dead cap, which is why I'll go back to, this is Andy Dufresne, and the best way out is through. Sometimes you just got to plug your nose. It's not always going to be pretty, but at the end of the day, hopefully there's sunshine and salvation in 2026. That's kind of how am I wrong to think that way?
No, but I think 2026 is probably the more realistic timeline. But you do things right here in this draft with your 8 picks, and maybe you add 1 in the second, and you get to 9 by a trade back in the first. You have to hit, right? You don't have to bat 1,000, but, you know, you got to find a few starters out of this draft eventually, not in year 1, but eventually have to become starters out of this draft, and then you become a big player in 25's free agent market. You can turn it around in a year. your timeline's probably more realistic, but you hit on the right picks. You catch a couple green lights, as Zach Bye always likes to say. You can become a player again in 2025. It's up against it. You're up against it with that blueprint, but it's possible
sure.
to have that play. And that's almost what I'm banking on of and that's dangerous. I know.
It's bad, dangerous, bad play.
But it's the only one I have right now. I'm trusting in Sean to identify the quarterback that fits his system the best, then attacking it and being aggressive to go get that quarterback, and then understanding at the same time there's going to be all kinds of speed bumps and bumps along the way where that young quarterback looks like the guy that goes, you just wasted the 12th pick on this fool, but you hope, you know, weeks 10, 11, as you get to the latter part of the season, you start to see some of those. It's like that one golf shot
you
hit, and it keeps you coming back to the golf course. Like, that's what you want to see out of, in this case, Bo Nix as the season winds down.
So what you're saying is, best case scenario, you hit on Bo Nix, hypothetically. Yep. You find your quarterback in the draft, whoever it is. Well, you're going to have like $100 million in cap space next year, at least you're projected to right now, depending upon what happens. So you're saying, hopefully, the best case scenario for Broncos country to get out of this is to hit this year, take that $100 million, load up, and make a run next year?
Yeah. Okay. What other play do you have?
No. Well, you rebuild. You take your time and you do it right. And it's not sexy, and you can't really sell it unless you've got a fan base that has been mired in the mud for 7 years and hasn't made the playoffs in 8 years and recognizes that there are a lot of deficiencies on this team. It's just, it's going to take a little time.
I agree with you, and I think I see your point there, and it's easy. It's easy to think that's a better play in March. Come September, when the games are being played and people are forking out their dough to get down to Empower Field,
mm-hmm.
that fan base changes their tune.
Okay. They don't really have a choice, though. It's kind of what
right.
I'm saying.
You're
is
right.
Like, you're kind of stuck.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get through the end of the tunnel, you're dying in the tunnel.
Yeah, you're not turning around.
That's what I'm saying. You're not going back. You dug the hole so you could get out of there.
All right. You want to join us, Broncos fans? What are you thinking? 303-713-1043. Can they turn it around in a year? Or is this a longer play, the smarter play, to tear it completely down? Let us know there on the RamosLaw.com text line. Let's talk some NCAA brackets. It's set. I'm going to fill one out. I actually fill two out every year. That's all I do is two. I do one, which I actually think. That's what I'll do this afternoon. And then I do one literally based on the mascots that I like the best, and that one usually does better.
Sounds logically sound. Yeah.
How many will you fill out?
Probably like five.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll probably do like five. Okay. I'll just get on ESPN and throw or our denversports.com/hoops
there
bracket challenge and throw them in there.
Yeah, that's...
And then pretend like the other ones never existed when they get run buckshot through in the first round. That's probably what I'll do. Of course I had St. Peter's making another deep run.
Right.
Of course, Kent State.
Yeah, Kent State. How could you forget Kent State?
Well, that's because they're not in the tournament.
Well, I always think of Kent Denver, the high school here.
That's Will Peterson's. Yeah, Will Peterson.
Yeah, that's what we're looking at for the bracket. And Matt mentioned it, denversports.com/hoops. It's our Sport Clips 5K Bracket Challenge. You're going to fill them out. Why not win 5K on the way and have some bragging rights to say you beat everybody here at the Fan? So again, denversports.com/hoops. It's our Sport Clips 5K Bracket Challenge. You got to get it done before March 21st. That's obviously when the game starts. So go there right now and sign up at denversports.com/hoops. We talked about CU, CSU there in the play-in games, Tuesday, Wednesday, both fighting for a number 10 seed. We'll get to that in a second. How about the number one overall seeds? We hadn't touched on that yet.
Mm-hmm.
UConn on the east side. The west side is North Carolina at number one overall. The Midwest has Purdue, the Boilermakers, and then the Cougars there in Houston at 30-4. They're the number one seed in the South. Do you think they got it right? They got it wrong? College basketball is not so watered down, but it's a bit more watered down now where the outliers don't separate themselves the way they had in the past.
Sure.
I think Houston is the best of the number one overall teams.
Really?
That defense that they have, man, it is something else. They close out at the three-point line. They have enough bigger bodies in the paint to contest there if that's what an opponent wants to do. I'm not sold on UConn. I think it's number two.
It's the same Houston team. They're going to make it to like the Elite Eight, and then they're not going to be able to make enough shots mm-hmm. to get past Sealy.
They want to play in the mud, like you talked about earlier.
100%. And look, UConn, I feel like they deserve our respect. defending national champion. They've got most everybody back. They've got the most talented team. UConn should
win. Two of their three wins came, losses were top 25 teams, and I believe they were both top 10.
Right, and the other one I think was Seton Hall.
Yeah.
So North Carolina loses the ACC tournament championship to North Carolina State, which, what a fun team.
Beat Duke and North Carolina.
Does Escalade play for NC State? Okay. Remember the old N1 player? The guy built like a, you know, literal Cadillac Escalade.
Isn't that Mark Jackson's brother?
Is that?
I think
Escalade is Mark Jackson's brother. That would be hilarious. I didn't know that. No, they got a kid. His name's DJ Burns. He's a good player, and NC State went on the run. Did you hear the story about NC State? They're getting ready to fire their head coach.
Oh, really?
They're getting ready to fire their head coach. And I'm pretty sure they agreed to let him coach the tournament, and then they won the conference tournament.
Wow.
And it triggered a bunch of bonuses, including a contract extension.
Nice.
So they're keeping him.
Oh, way to go, coach.
Back against the wall.
Yeah.
Never say die. Chip on your shoulder. I think they got it right. Arizona, I think they probably had penciled in for a one seed. But Arizona is, they've got some bad losses on their resume. They'll get clipped, I think, by the Sweet 16. Kansas, you'd love maybe for, if you're the tournament, to maybe go with Kansas around there, around that one seed, but then they kind of falter down the stretch. That Kansas team will be out before they get the check in the tournament. They won't even make it to the Sweet 16. I'd be surprised.
Okay.
I would be. Let's see, who else? Purdue. The Purdue story is fascinating. They haven't made it past, what, the round of 64 in 3 years?
Yeah.
Three embarrassing losses, because they lost to Farley Dickinson. Wasn't that the first ever 16 over a one last year? And then it was St. Peter's a couple of years before. Those guys went on a run, and I'm missing one in between there. Point is this, Purdue, you imagine at some point Purdue ends up losing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just kind of their MO. I like Houston. Houston got a good draw. That's what I really like about Houston. The tournament is always about the draw. I think there's more parity this year than there has been in a very long time. You could see a bunch of different teams. I think, in fact, you'll see a Sweet 16 where you've got seeds all over the board.
I agree with you.
All over the board. So good luck filling out your brackets at denversports.com/hoops.
You know what? Look at the ages, the classes of teams. Like that Houston, they're loaded with upperclassmen.
Any sleepers here for you?
I don't know. I was looking at the 5-12s because they're always fun. And Gonzaga's a 5 against McNeese,
who
is
really
a 12.
Good. They have 30
the
wins.
There, yeah.
They've got 30 wins.
I could see Gonzaga, you know, doing what Gonzaga does just a couple of rounds too early this year and dropping off right there.
Isn't the Wisconsin game a 5? Yeah, Wisconsin, James Madison.
James Madison's good too.
James Madison has 31 wins this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good program.
And leave it to a Big Ten team to disappoint somebody. That's what the Big Ten does.
No question. Although that Wisconsin-Illinois Big Ten championship game yesterday, that was a great game. Mm-hmm. Illinois is going to be a tough out.
Yeah, they are.
Illinois, for me, is a sleeper team. They're a 3 seed, but that to me is a team you got to watch on because, look, they might run into UConn, but outside of that, Auburn's been playing well lately. Iowa State's a solid group. So, like I say, you could see a bunch of teams make a run to the Elite Eight and even the Final Four this year, but I'll go back to there's only a couple teams I think could win it all. UConn is among them. And maybe a Purdue if you get hot, but they're two guards, man. They're not great. It's all about Zach Edey on the inside. And I've always thought in college basketball, you need two legit guards and you need one post. You need two dudes who can score and you need a big man who can grab every board and give you about 15.
Yeah.
You got all that and UConn has it. Houston, they've got it. North Carolina, if they play well, they've got it. Purdue, they don't really have it.
No. And if UConn can get back and repeat, they'd be the first since Florida did it back in 2006 and 2007. So that's what's on the line for the number one seed Huskies over there in the East. All right, we'll take a timeout. When we get back, we're going back to the Ball Arena Bros. They're both fighting for number one seeds, and we're on the road over the weekend. They were almost perfect. Oh, that dang Kyrie hook shot. We'll revisit big wins and a loss for the Nugs and Az next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
Lunchtime on a Monday. one day. I just spilled my lunch all over myself.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
I've always wondered how you fed yourself every day.
Yeah, it's
you
know? Weird, right?
Yeah.
All right, we are sitting here getting ready to chat about the Ball Arena Bros. That's the voice of Matt Smith. He's sitting in for Stoke today. They are red hot, what they're doing. I know the Nugs lost a tough one this weekend on a last-second shot to the Mavericks and Kyrie Irving. Still right there in the thick of things as far as the number one overall seed goes. And they have Minnesota tomorrow. They'll have them two more times after Tuesday's road game, and that will wrap up the road trip. Let me ask you this, Matt, and everybody out there listening, you Denver sports fans. Answer via the text line, powered by Ramos Law, 303-713-1043. Who needs home ice court? Who needs home advantage more to have a further run in the postseason between the Nuggets and the Avalanche?
Good question. Oh, I would have told you the Nuggets, because basketball, I think it matters more. I do. You definitely see teams start to lose their legs in the third period in hockey, mm-hmm. but you do have bigger breaks in between. I would say for basketball, that fourth quarter, the altitude almost always gets teams. You almost always see that contribute. And when you combine that with just how damn good the Nuggets are in clutch time, right? They're 23-12 this year, clutch time wins and losses. So for me, it's probably Nuggets need it more. However, up until the trade deadline, I'd have told you the Avs, because the Avs were not playing very well on the road, but it looks like slowly they're starting to turn that boat there now that there's a little bit more talent within this lineup. So I would still say probably the Nuggets. You definitely want to start a series at home. You definitely do. I mean, I'd like both of the teams to have it. Now, the question becomes, if you're the Avalanche, who right now sit, I think it's 2 points behind Vancouver, because Vancouver lost at home last night to the, or 2 nights ago to the Capitals.
Just 1 point, but they are behind them, yes.
Yes, 1 point behind them. Mm-hmm. One, but even still, even better case. Well, do you want Vegas in the first round?
That's another, Vegas or Nashville, right, is kind of what it's looking like?
Potentially, or it could be L.A., because I think what's going to happen is I think L.A. is going to drop off a little, and I think Vegas is going to be the third team to finish in the Pacific. I'd be looking to play the Kings this year in the first round. I know we got into that game last year where, hey, let's go for Seattle. Hopefully this year it's a little different, but I'll tell you, compared to the two teams, Nuggets and Avs, Avs are definitely a little bit more mindful of the standings right now, in my opinion, than I think the Nuggets probably are.
Yeah, I mean, and I actually think Malone's pretty mindful of it. He plays the game, and he's done the seeding thing, a couple of years ago? They were really looking for an opponent, seeking out a first-round matchup, and he's played it down a little bit this year, but as he plays it down, his players literally go to a podium and play it up, so you know they're having the conversations about it. I would agree with you that it's not important, but as far as home court field ice advantage, I think hockey's the least important of all the sports. The glass is there. I think hockey players are...
Unless you got me there, you know, feeding it to you with both barrels.
Going George crazy. Bennington. Sure, yeah. But, you know, I think hockey players are, not that they're not all in it, but, like, they're just in their zone. They just play hockey. You know what I mean? They're not looking around, guys on the sidelines, hearing chirps from fans. So I would say the Nuggets for that reason as well. But, man, the Avalanche are a better team at home. They're the tied for the most comeback wins, right?
Yes.
Over the weekend. So, you know, you 21. Get it home. You hope that you don't have to play in those sort of situations. You find yourself scoring first and setting the pace at Ball Arena rather than at the road.
So I'm looking at the updated standings here in the NHL. Vegas at 79 points, tied with L.A. at 79 points in the Pacific. But L.A. actually has the tiebreak there.
Okay.
What you're going to be rooting for as an Avs fan down the stretch is for Vegas to pick it up and finish out of the wild card, which means maybe Vancouver would get them in the first round, the 1-3 matchup there. Vancouver would get the other wild card, depending upon it, but that would mean Edmonton would get Vegas in the first round.
There you go.
And sign me up for that all day long. So root for Vegas. Hope L.A. drops off a little bit, but stays right above the Blues. I mean, or you just, you know, root for the Blues or the Wild to come up and snag one of these final two wild card spots, because I'll take L.A., St. Louis or Minnesota all day, every day in the first round. Let's just get to the second round this year.
I would love to send St. Louis or Minnesota home for the summer.
So should the Avs lose tonight, tomorrow night?
Well, no, don't lose.
Tank the game is what you're saying?
I can't ever say that if Jordan Binnington's the guy on the other side.
Imagine
there.
Telling Nathan MacKinnon, hey, why don't you just take the night off?
You know what he'd do? He'd
cross-check to your nose.
Yeah. He'd take his helmet off and throw it at us the way he did that Arizona dude a few years ago.
That's right.
That's what it would look like. The Avs are red hot. They're 3-0 on the road trip, already have 6 of the 8 possible points there. Jared Bednar talked about their road success last night, Saturday night.
But all around, this was their best hockey game of the 3, I think. I really like the finish to the van game, and we keep playing like this, we'll win a lot of road games, we'll win a lot of games regardless of where they are, home or road. So it's good to see, because I think it's important that the team feels that we can go out on the road and win consistently, and we haven't done that so far through the course of the season until this road trip.
I think what he's saying there, and I saw you nodding your head there agreeing with the message from Jared Bednar, it almost goes back to the conversation you and I had about the Nuggets and doing the right things, creating good habits. You just said it. We play this brand of hockey, put us at Ball Arena, put us in Vegas, put us in Vancouver. It doesn't matter. We play this brand. We're a very, very tough out.
I'm glad you pointed that out, because what does that mean? He did not feel that way before.
Right.
And that's what I've been screaming about, and it's at least refreshing for me to hear that they believe that too. And I always thought that they believe that within that locker room and that front office, but it's refreshing to me, because at the deadline last year, Bednar talked about how this group knows if they have the pieces. The year they lost to Vegas and lost 4 straight to Vegas before they won the Cup, they thought that they had a team good enough. They just, experience-wise, hadn't been deep enough and hadn't really learned some of those lessons yet outside of the bubble. So, but the year before, they knew they were kind of playing on borrowed time, because remember, in the bubble, it was all about the goaltender. Mm-hmm. They were starting Michael Hutchinson and this guy, and, you know, could we get anybody to pass COVID protocols so we could get him in the bubble and put him in goalie pads? Yeah. They were talking about Dover being the goalie at one stage.
I'd be a great e-bug.
But they knew that they didn't have the team to win before the deadline. Mm-hmm. Now I believe they think they have a chance. But you can tell Bednar's not willing to crown it yet because he needs to see it develop more, which is what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to hand out a parade for what you did on March 18th. I want to see what you did in June.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see.
That's actually when parades happen. So you're spot on with that. Yeah, I don't know.
Keep building. Both teams.
Do you play, like, rec league hockey?
I used to play all the time. I'm too hurt to do it now, but I used to play, like, 4 or 5 days a week.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
That's always one that, like... All right, we can pull the curtain back here a little bit. So, you know, I like to skateboard. I'm 39, and I like to skateboard.
Oh, you had your rec league game yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
We lost the championship. our best player was out. It was.
Oh, sure he was. Yeah. Your best player was out.
I also played, like, straight poop, so
did
that
you?
Was bad. Yeah,
that's
I missed 3 free throws.
Maybe it's the long hair.
I don't know. I think that helped, actually.
Do you put that in a man bun?
You know it.
Okay.
I used to play with, like, a thing over my like forehead so that the hair could flow, and then I saw what Luca looked like when he was doing that, and he doesn't have as great as hair as I do, but
well, clearly.
I thought, wow, he looks really stupid. If I look any like a sliver of that dumb, I gotta stop doing that.
Blowout or like close game?
Blowout.
That's. I feel like sometimes those
first
are
half.
Sometimes those are easier to take.
Yeah,
it's like we never. And then, like you said, your best player was out. They just clobbered us.
It was kind of like at half. You know, when they started making their run, I'm like, man, I wonder what Kelsey's doing for dinner.
Wow,
kind of where my
look at you already booking the trip to Cabo before the season's over.
But that was what I was going to ask you. Like, I kind of wanted to.
You're really not a dog.
I don't know. I don't have that same X-ray that MacKinnon
has. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know that like I could just jump into a rec hockey league without ever playing, but I don't know where I'm at, Matt, in life. I'm like at this spot where like my skateboarding friends are all kind of going away.
Oh, it's a ton of fun. Beer league hockey is a good time. Yeah, you could step in and play like D or C level hockey.
It's really?
Just, yeah, you'll have to go to a stick and puck, get your legs under you, you know, mess around a little bit.
Okay.
And join some team. I mean, I used to play on a beer league team with a bunch of guys that had no idea what they're doing.
So that would be me.
Yeah, for sure. Where you just kind of like giraffing it on the ice. Yeah, I mean, it happens.
I want to shoot a couple pucks and I want to hit some people.
Well, you're not going to hit anybody.
Why?
Well, I mean, unless you want to play senior hockey, but you'll get destroyed, so don't do that.
Yeah,
don't do that.
So you can't hit? Like, I'm not saying fisticuffs. I just want to check some people.
You can play senior league hockey. You're going to get your teeth kicked in. Yes, that's what I'm trying to tell you from guys who have done that. You can do it. I wouldn't recommend it. I mean, look, you're past 40 here, Josh. Just get out there and get a good sweat. You want to hit guys. Wait till you get out there for your first shift. 45 seconds and you'll be throwing up when you get back to the bench. I promise.
So can I always give hockey players a hard time for only being out there for 60 seconds?
It is. You are gassed. I'm just saying. It's different muscles than you use at any other point in time. If you're looking for a transition, hockey's a ton of fun. It is the most fun sport that I play.
Really?
Yeah, no question.
Maybe I should just go join a Texters team. Just be like the...
Do it.
A sub guy?
Be that sub guy.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, hey, man, you any good? And you're like... Yeah, you know, I've played a while.
I want to just be fully transparent. I'm awful.
So you'd be a fourth-line grinder on a D-level beer league team. I love it.
That's exactly right. That's what I'm looking for.
A fourth-line plug in the D-league.
Texters, if you're looking for that guy, I'm here for you.
What do you think, Drew? Think you could pull it off? I think you could pull it off.
I'm athletic.
Enough to be a fourth-line plug?
No. Not
Come on.
Well, says Drew, who thinks he can hit a 90-mile-an-hour fastball coming at him in a batting cage.
I don't know. I'd give Drew a better chance than you without having skated at a stick and puck before.
I would too, actually.
Yeah, that's all I'll say. Well. Go out, a couple of stick and pucks, you know, maybe take some skating lessons. Mm-hmm. We'll get you and Kisner out there at the same time.
Yeah.
You could get behind him, hold him while, and make sure he doesn't fall.
You know. That sounds awesome, actually. Yeah. It'd be a great video for the website.
I think it would be great content, that's for sure.
All right, we hit a timeout. Text us if you need a fourth-line guy on your beer league team. I'm ready for it. But let's talk a little bit about Sean Payton's buddy, maybe even his BFF, Colin Cowherd, has an idea as who the Broncos quarterback will be next year. He shared it on his radio show. We'll share it with you next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
All right, it is still in our lunch hour. We're chatting a little bit about what Nuggets and Avs were able to do over the weekend. That led to us finding some skates for me to play in beer league hockey during the break, and Drew found some for me.
Can I put a PSA out there?
Please.
If there's a good skatesmith that can repair skates, 303-713-1043. Nice. Okay. I need one because I got a great pair of skates. I just don't want, I've got an eyelet that broke, but I don't know who can fix it. So if you're a wizard or you know a wizard, hit us up. I could use the recommendation.
I like that. One texter from Illinois says, Josh should stick with bowling. The hair works with bowling. You'll fit right in.
I was actually just reading an interesting article. You bring up bowling, apparently, like, the fees at bowling alleys are just going through the roof because there's not as many people going to bowling alleys anymore. So to make up for the cost, it costs you a ton of money to rent lanes now. Which, isn't that like from a business perspective, you'd like to make some money somehow.
The other way?
Feels like it ought to, I'm not paying a couple of $100 to go bowl for a couple of hours. I mean, that's some places, that's what it costs you now.
In the new Wonka, that was the whole gig. He made chocolate affordable for everybody. Put the other guys out of business.
Interesting tie back there.
I just watched it last night.
What'd you think?
Not for me, but I'm not a musical guy. My girl loved it, but I was like, all right, well, I'm going to look at Twitter throughout the course of this show.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, but you were a good, significant other and sat there.
I was paying my boyfriend tax.
Okay. That's what you call it.
Yeah.
Wonka, it was fine. It wasn't great. It wasn't any great shake. Chalamet was good, but outside of that, I thought the movie was meh. Yeah. They could have taken it in a different direction. We'll see what happens with the second one.
The factory's coming.
Exactly. Right. Well, no spoilers or anything, but yeah. If you hadn't seen it out there yet.
If you didn't know that was coming. Yeah. And that's on you. All right. I want to talk a little bit about Colin Cowherd. We've been talking about Bo Nix. It seems like that's the play. Matt, does it surprise you at all that I couldn't get over this, man, when we turned our attention to Bo Nix? It's because JJ has climbed so much. Do we get to a point before the opening round of the NFL draft where Bo takes a climb the way that JJ did?
I don't think so.
Didn't it feel like a reach at 12 for JJ 14 days ago?
Still does.
Oh, really?
To me, it's
well,
still
not
does.
To the rest of the world.
No, I get that.
Here we are talking about Bo Nix, and I feel like... What I've done now is talked myself into it rather than let him earn it.
Of course. That's the NFL. That's the beauty of the NFL draft process, especially if you're not exactly where you want to be. So, no, I don't think so. Is there all of a sudden going to be a clamoring where, he already competed at his pro day, he already went at the combine, what could he possibly do now that would change people's minds based upon their prior evaluation. Yeah. Nothing is the answer. So unless somebody loves them, Josh, I don't see that happening. I just don't.
So Colin Cowherd, this is always interesting when Cowherd speaks, right? It feels like when Cowherd talks, he's got something from Sean Payton.
Well, they're dinner buddies.
When Tom Pelissero talks, he's got something from George Payton. Like,
yep.
That's what it feels like and seems to be with the Denver Broncos. So when those gentlemen chat, say something in regards to Denver, we turn it on and listen. So here's what Colin Cowherd said about Bo Nix and the possibility of landing in Denver.
Bo Nix, I think, goes to Denver at 12. I think he's an excellent fit with Sean Payton. He has 61 college starts. Sean Payton needs to win now. He's not here to teach you how to play quarterback. Bo Nix has 61 starts Auburn, Oregon. He is ready to play. His ceiling may be lower, but his floor could be higher. Payton wants a quarterback who follows his play design. That's exactly what Oregon did with Bo Nix. Saw him live twice. They designed him. He hit him. Very, very accurate. Again, 61 college starts. To me, his comp is a little Drew Brees with mobility.
Wow. And we keep getting that, the Drew Brees with mobility.
Drew Brees.
It was Phil Yates that was at his pro day, Bo Nix's pro day, and said, had the similarities to Drew Brees, talked about process, and like he was just checking all the boxes. That's something else, and Cowherd kind of hints at that. Like Bo Nix, he's experienced. He has the 60-plus starts. He knows how to play the game. He knows what to say, how to sell himself in the right way, maybe even more so than some of these other quarterbacks that we've talked about in front of him. But it's that conversation of him being available right there at 12. And then when Cowherd says it, you just assume, all right, well, they're having the conversations. And at this point, I thought there could be some smokescreen stuff happening with JJ, but you're not going to smokescreen the fifth quarterback to steal your term of the NFL draft. Like if there's now smoke, no pun intended there, around the Bo Nix conversation, well, then I believe it's only a matter of time before it's fire.
Drew Brees, I just totally threw me off when I heard him compare Bo Nix to Drew Brees. That, to me, that's not my evaluation. I think I've told you my evaluation before.
Mm-hmm.
Bo Nix is a more athletic version of Mac Jones. I mean, and the numbers prove it. He's like 0.15 faster in the 40 than Mac Jones was. Look at their final years in college, okay? Mac Jones, 4,500 yards. Bo Nix, 4,508. Mac Jones, 41 touchdowns. Bo Nix, 45. Mac Jones, 4 interceptions. Bo Nix, 3. Completion percentage, identical down to the decimal point, both at 77.4%. Wow. To me, my evaluation is Bo Nix is more of a more athletic Mac Jones than he is anything close to a Drew Brees. Drew Brees could throw the ball. I mean, Drew Brees had some arm strength. Bo Nix, when it starts to get past 40, 50, it's a bit of a, you know, I mean, that's a far throw anyway, but yeah. It's still a bit of a noodle to me. At least he doesn't have the pop in the arm that I've seen from some of these other guys. I wouldn't compare him to Drew Brees. I think that is a bad comp. Now, to your point, is that coming from Sean? That Sean sees that? Because Sean told us at the combine, they're better at evaluating quarterbacks than anybody in the
that's
world.
Right.
And everybody else can, you know, get bet,
mm-hmm.
basically.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he sees something in Bo Nix that he can work with. Now, to the second part of Cowherd's point, that Bo Nix is an operator of the offense. You design him, he runs him. That's accurate, but it's a different system. Bo is doing mostly RPO-heavy stuff, and the talent that they had at Oregon superiorly outweighed everybody else. So maybe I don't love the comp, but again, as I brought up, when I saw Bo twice, and I've seen Bo twice live in person as well, when I watched him shred the Buffs this year, I kept thinking in the back of my mind, man, Sean is going to fall in love with this cat. He's going to fall in love with him because he's a pocket guy. He does try and stay in the pocket. He'll only use his legs when he needs to, and he is more athletic than Mac Jones, so he can make some plays with his legs. But again, look at the amount of throws, 10 yards or fewer, and Bo Nix starts to look like Russell Wilson last year, and it's my understanding that Sean wants to unlock the offense more than what he did last year. That's why he struggled so much. Mm-hmm. So why would you go get a guy whose bulk of success was that, unless for some reason you're projecting him to be more than that?
I want to keep this conversation rolling. Plus, we're going to tell you guys about Malcolm Roach. They signed him last week from New Orleans, and that dude's been playing varsity football. basically his entire life. We're going to share that with you. But I want to further this conversation with what you just said. Draw it up and Bo will execute it. Is that what Sean's looking for? Or can Sean be a little bit vulnerable and be willing to change some of those things he's trying to draw it up so that it can be executed properly by a guy like Bo Nix? We're going to get into that conversation next.